This is podcast number 157 for the Well-Educated Mother's Heart. Hi, I'm Marlene Peterson, and today I want to talk about why the Bible matters. There are many reasons why I link the study of the Holy Land to our study of America as a new nation with its constitution written to keep a people free. One of the reasons is because the Bible, with its histories and teachings, is so intertwined with us as a free people under God. What other people in the history of the world have ever made that claim? I would be so bold as to say, had there been no Bible, there would have been no America. And if we lose the influence of the Bible as a people, America as we know it will cease to exist. I happen to be in good company in that belief, starting with George Washington, the father of our country, who said, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." Listen to the words of a number of our other presidents. Thomas Jefferson, "I always have said and always will say that the studious perusal of the sacred volume will make better citizens, better fathers, and better husbands." John Quincy Adams, "I have for many years made it a practice to read through the Bible once a year. The earlier my children begin to read it, the more confident will be my hopes that they will prove useful citizens of their country and respectable members of society." Andrew Jackson, "The Bible is the rock on which our republic rests." Abraham Lincoln, "In regard to the great book, I have only to say that it is the best book which God has given to men." Ulysses S. Grant, "Hold fast to the Bible as the anchor of your liberties. Write its precepts on your hearts and practice them in your lives. To the influence of this book, we are indebted for all the progress made in true civilization, and to this we must look as our guide in the future." Benjamin Harrison, "If you take out of your statutes, your constitutions, your family life, all that is taken from the sacred book, what would there be left to bind society together?" William McKinley, "The teachings of the Bible are so interwoven and entwined with our whole civic and social life that it would be literally, I do not mean figuratively, I mean literally, impossible for us to figure to ourselves what this life would be if these teachings were removed." The more profoundly we study this wonderful book, the higher will be our destiny as a nation. Theodore Roosevelt. "No other book of any kind ever written has ever so affected the whole life of a people as the Scriptures." Woodrow Wilson, "I have a very simple thing to ask of you. I ask of every man and woman in this audience that from this night on they will realize that part of the destiny of America lies in their daily perusal of this great book of Revelations, that if they would see America free and pure, they will make their own spirits free and pure by this baptism of the Holy Scripture." Warren G. Harding, "Both as literature and as inspiration, the Bible has a value with which no other work can be compared." William Gladstone, who served for many years as the Prime Minister of England, wrote, "If I am asked what is the remedy for the sorrows of the heart, I must point to the old, old book, which is the greatest and best gift ever given to mankind. I have known 95 great men of the world in my time, and of those, 87 were all followers of the Bible. My only hope for the world is in bringing the human mind into contact with divine revelation." Daniel Webster, "If we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering and to prosper. But if we and our posterity neglect its instructions and authority, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury our glory in profound obscurity." He also wrote, "We cannot divorce education from religion and sustain the republic." Charles Fairbanks, a former vice president, "The more the Bible is put into the minds and hearts and daily lives of the people, the less concern we may have with respect to our political laws. Take out of our lives the Scriptures and you would strike an irreparable blow to our national progress." Thomas Marshall, another vice president, "If I were to have my way, I would take the torch out of the hand of the Statue of Liberty and in its stead place an open Bible. General Robert E. Lee, the Bible is a book in which all my perplexities and distresses have never failed to give me light and strength. General Pershing, the commander-in-chief in the World War, I'm glad to see that every man in the Army is to have a testament. Its teachings will fortify us for our great work. John Ruskin, who I've spoken of before, all that I have taught of art, everything that I've written, whatever greatness there has been in any thought of mine, whatever I have done in my life has simply been due to the fact that, when I was a child, my mother daily read with me a part of the Bible and daily made me learn a part of it by heart. Read your Bible. Make it your daily business to obey it in all you understand. To my early knowledge of the Bible, I owe the best part of my taste in literature. Immanuel Kant, the German philosopher, the existence of the Bible as a book for the people is the greatest benefit which the human race has ever experienced. Charles Dickens, it is the best book that ever was or will be known in the world. Count Leo Tolstoy, without the Bible, the education of the child in the present state of society is impossible. Jacob Gould Sherman, the former president of Cornell University, the Bible is the most important document in the world's history. No man can be wholly uneducated who really knows the Bible, nor can anyone be considered a truly educated man who is ignorant of it. Yet, the Supreme Court, in a series of three decisions in 1962 and 1963, removed the Bible and prayer from our public schools. This battle to get it out of our schools has been going on for a very long time. I ran across a book written in 1854 called The Right of the Bible in Our Public Schools. At that time, it was actually the Catholic Church that was putting the pressure to have it removed. But no matter, the object of the book was as a warning of what would happen if any group finally achieved their end. It's been 56 years since it happened. Were the predictions of this writer right? Here are a few highlights for you to consider. 1. The exclusion of the Bible and of all religious bias would be followed inevitably by a fear and jealousy of all religious teaching, and by, when any allusion is made by the teacher to God, Christ, and religious motives, there would be an instinctive repulsion as if this were trenching on forbidden ground. Boy, we see that, don't we? 2. There will be such an accumulation of despotic element that loves the darkness and hates the light that it will be as much as a man's life is worth even to examine it. It has been so in other countries, and someday, if we let it work successfully against the Bible in our schools, it will make an explosion that will shatter our whole system. 3. God will have men and nations governed, and they must be governed by one of two instruments, an open Bible with its hallowed influences, or a standing army. One is the product of God's wisdom, the other of man's folly, and that nation or people that dare discard or will not yield to the moral power of the one must submit to the brute force of the other. 4. What God has united, man may not separate without peril. To separate the head from the heart, to cultivate the one and neglect the other, is a divorce as unnatural as perilous. The child whose hand is educated in elegant and exact penmanship may yet try his acquired art and skill at counterfeiting and forgery, unless his conscience is duly educated. 5. If we get the Bible and religion effectively out of our schools, ignoring it or legalizing its exclusion, another generation will not be likely to restore it to its rightful place or to redeem themselves from the fetters of this dreadful mistake. More and more the affections of the people will be alienated from the common schools if we take the Bible out from them. Respectable and religious and well-informed parents will cease to send their children to them. Conscience itself would destroy the school system. 6. Take from us the open Bible, and like Samson shorn of his locks, we should become as weak as any people, take away the Bible, and we would need a despot on a throne and a standing army to keep the populace in subjection. 7. If the schoolteacher should neglect moral and religious instruction entirely, that very neglect might be an influence on the minds of many children against religion. 8. The state appoints the formality of an oath to be taken on the Bible. It is a mockery if the state, having appointed this form of oath by law, do not provide the means of understanding it. A story found in the Bible. 9. Our whole possibility of safety and prosperity as a country is founded on habit and influences of religious self-control, and yet the only book that teaches such control without sectarianism is forbidden in the free public schools. Language cannot state strongly enough the greatness of the danger from such a course. 10. In our country, the foundation of power in the individual and liberty in the masses is self-government founded on religious belief and conscience. If these be lost or corrupted, our expiring anguish will surpass that of any nation that ever lived. Look around. See what's happening in our country where God's laws have been replaced or are being replaced by man's confidence that his reasoning abilities can develop a new, more practical moral code. How's that working out for us? To see our lawmakers applaud the termination of a baby's life is about as repulsive as anything I can possibly imagine. I don't believe we can get the Bible back into our public schools in the near future, but we can make it a part of our children's lives right now, today, in our homes. If you did nothing else but plant a love of the Bible in the hearts of your children, you not only will have given them the greatest gift you can give, you will be taking the most important step I can see to secure the future liberty of our nation. I've been working on some resources that will help you to do just that, and I want to talk about them and tell you about them in the next podcast.